I am joined by a woman who has, I would say, impeccable musical taste. I'm just saying something. She's looking at me going, what are you going on? Joanne McNally. Hello, darling. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really well. Is there an album for you from your teenage years?
Well, I know. Isn't she playing this weekend?
So she was on last night in Cork and tonight in Dublin.
Yeah, so it's Alanis Morissette. It reminds me so much of being in Irish college.
Oh,
and wearing
yeah.
Charlie Red. So when I hear it, it reminds me of smells. And I remember I got this new can of deodorant to go to Irish college with, and I remember one of the girls in my room tried to smell it and I wouldn't let her because I thought she'd smell the smell out of it. I'd obviously treated myself with a tin of Charlie Red.
She smelled the smell out of it.
Yeah, and I was like, stop it. I remember getting really annoyed. That was one of my strongest memories of Irish college.
That and Alanis Morissette.
Yeah,
it brings
and
it up
knowing
all the time.
I kind of stepped over a line with her and things were kind of frosty for a while, but I didn't care because I was worried she was going to smell out the smell and for Charlie Red.
Were you the only person at Irish college who was wearing Charlie Red?
We all dressed the exact same and we all smelled the exact same. Blue mascara had just come out. I think I'd shoplifted it from a pound shop. I had that. Yeah.
The Carol
shoplifting from pound shops.
The Carol's makeup that used to be in pound shops.
Was that what it was?
It was, yeah.
With
it was
the roll on lip glosses and all, with the roller ball on the top.
Absolutely.
And your lips would stick to your hair and your eyes would stick to your lips and all, yeah.
It was essentially just a chubba chup.
It was awful.
That you were putting on. So you don't remember, do you remember the shifting from Irish College? It was more Charlie Red.
I did shift one lad. I was upset. Of course, that man's not interested in me. Give me two. But I was obsessed with this guy called Dunica, who I did score. But I think when I scored him, like, he was kind of just plumossing me, I think. And we didn't fall in love. That's all I remember. But it was, remember that thing of that arrangement of like, Dunica says he'll meet you behind.
After the Kaylee.
Yeah. And you'd go and you'd meet and you'd say nothing and you just get stuck in. You'd pull away and you'd go your separate ways.
You'd walk towards each other with the heads bent at either side and you'd walk like this like a mummy towards each other because you didn't know that you could be a natural human being when you went to kiss someone.
And I remember for years, I used to go down to Carlingford sometimes for holidays and we were kissing. Like, there's not a man or woman, I'd say, that I haven't scored in Carlingford at this stage. And I remember I was walking down the street one day and this lad shouted out throughout, "Oi, Blinka!" And I was like, what? Because the first guy I kissed didn't close his eyes, so I didn't close mine. And then I got locked into the habit of wearing face with my eyes wide open.
Oh my God.
And it's so embarrassing. And obviously I didn't realise what I was doing was wrong, but word was going around Carlingford that your one never blinks when she's kissing. And it was the first time I was like, right, okay, that's obviously not what you do. So then I shut them tight.
And then was it better when you shut them?
No! Well, I suppose you could concentrate more because when they're open, you're just kind of looking around and all, aren't you?
Is there a dog?
Getting on with it.
Who's that dog? That's a cute dog. I want to see that dog. That's what's going on.
Is that my dad driving by? That
I'm
kind of thing.
Kind of wondering now. I don't think I've ever done the eyes open thing. We are going to have to discuss first kisses more soon. Love talking about first kisses.
Yeah.
With Irish College in Carlingford and you're heading off to Edinburgh for an entire month, the Edinburgh Fringe. So earlier on, we were doing a packing challenge.
Oh, okay.
Pam won, of course, because she rolls everything. Is it a nightmare when you're packing?
It's a nightmare especially because I'm going back and forth to the UK a lot. And I mean, a month is really difficult. What I had to do was, and because I buy clothes, I love charity shops. I buy so much rubbish.
Yeah.
That I actually had to buy an extra big, like, penny, you know, one of those big pennies kind of, I don't know, what would you call them, shopping bags, and pack it and have it vanned home by some guy who worked in tech in Edinburgh last year.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, but when I'm going to London, because I don't want to pay, because you think you're getting a really cheap flight and then you forget that you have to pay an extra 30 quid to check, like, to bring on, you know, to check in luggage.
Yeah.
So I get really weird about it. So, like, I'll wear loads of layers. And it's going to be really hard now because the weather's so hot. I'll be turning up in my fur coat.
What's the most amount of layers that you've worn going on a Ryanair?
I wear a lot of my T-shirts and stuff.
Would you?
Yeah. And then I've got, and I'd be really, like, putting things into my shoes. And if I can get away with not paying to put on a bag, I will. 100%.
And you're moving. Are you going to move to London?
I'm moving to London in October, yeah. I don't know how I'm going to do. How do you do that?
I have no idea. Ferry.
I'll have to ferry
you
it.
Find someone who's sound enough to drive you.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ferry it over.
With the car, because I'm sure you've got a lot of crap.
I have so much crap.
I'm sorry, not crap. The most beautiful stuff in the entire world.
No. And my mum has made it very clear. She's like, you are not storing as much as a lamp in this house. Now, I'm hoping she'll thaw. but she won't let me have anything in the house. So I have to throw out everything I own.
You've got until October, so you know that you have to stealthily just bring stuff home for the next 3 months. Yeah. Like, it's just, oh no, don't know what's... And when she's in the kitchen, you just run upstairs with a box.
Well, I had a situation recently where I bought this gorgeous, beautiful desk in Oxfam. So it's a secondhand desk and it was absolutely huge. My boyfriend was like, are you writing for the Oval Office? Like, where are you going to put that? But anyway, so I brought it back to my own house and I couldn't get it in the door. So the delivery guys, I paid to have it driven over from Oxfam. The delivery guys had to take the covers off the radiators. So we got it into the hallway.
What?
Yeah. It was so ridiculous because I don't measure things with measuring tapes. I measure things with books. So I took a book up to Oxfam, a book called The Famine Plot that I'd found in the house, and I measured the desk.
This wasn't, I thought this was a straight up impulse buy, but you were like, no, I like that desk. Yeah. I'm going to go home and get a book.
Yeah.
Measure the book.
Yeah. So I measured my door and everything and I was like, right, that's like whatever, 5 famine plots by 12 famine plots. And then I went back up to Oxfam and I measured the desk and I was like, oh yeah, that'll be grand. Actually, I'll have a bit of space. And then, of course, it was outrageous. So my mum had to store it for ages. And then eventually my aunt took it down to... It lives in Kildare now.
I found a home.
But it's beautiful. Like, it's so beautiful. But I'll never see it again.
The famine will always get you. See?
Yeah, this is it. Screwed me.
It was absolutely... That's just what it did. With all this kind of stuff, because we know, Joanne McNally, you are one of over 80 comedians performing at this year's Vodafone Comedy Festival at the Ivy Gardens in Dublin from the 26th.
Only 80?
To the 20th. Yeah, they've decided to book you in for more
80
gigs.
Comedians. Oh my God.
In one space. So being in Edinburgh, I know that that's like your summer holidays. That's your Irish college for comedians, isn't it, being in Edinburgh?
It's the opposite of a holiday. At least Irish college was a bit of crack. No, Edinburgh, that's not fair on Edinburgh. Sorry, Edinburgh. Edinburgh is crack, but it's very intense. And it's a lot of work. And like, because you have to sell your show. So like, say it's 80 comedians in the Ivy Gardens.
Yeah.
I think there's like 2,500, 3,000 shows in Edinburgh, roughly. And, you know, I'm not Dara O'Brien, so no one actually cares that I'm there. So you have to sell your show all day.
Just put on a bald hat.
and people might be like,
oh my God, fat suit and a bald. And you're like, it's Dara O'Brien.
Well, the Irish accent does sell it. I remember last year I had a flyer. You have flyers who flyer your show. And because Irish comics are really popular in Edinburgh, so people will trust Irish comics.
Yeah.
So I heard one of my flyers saying like, oh, Irish comedian, she supported Tommy Tiernan. And I was like, well, I've never supported Tommy Tiernan. And I was like, should I tell him to stop? Nah, go on. Tell them I supported Tommy Tiernan. Get them in. Who cares?
That's amazing. And Tommy has not said a word about it. Tommy, we don't expect to hear from your lawyers anytime soon. It shouldn't be happening.
I'm gigging with him in the Ivy Gardens though.
Well, see, there you go. So you knew.
Yeah, I knew.
If you said it, it was going to come through. It's like Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
Build it and it will come. So with the Ivy Gardens, with the 80 of you there, it is kind of, because I go there most years and I see y'all milling around and having a bit of a laugh together. And it's always like, how do we get over to the comedians to pretend that we're mates with them? Like, you look like you're having fun.
Yeah, I suppose it depends when you're... So I'm on the Thursday and the Sunday.
Yeah.
So I'm actually away gigging in the UK in between those days. So I won't be able to have fun. But I'll definitely have fun on the Sunday night after the gigs.
Because your show is Wine Tamer and you have stopped drinking before you go on stage, haven't you?
Yeah.
Like, was that a big decision?
It was a big decision. It was, do you know what? It was actually much harder than I thought it was going to be. So now I vape really heavily before I go on stage because there's adrenaline.
Absolutely.
And so I used to kind of dilute that adrenaline with a glass of wine. And I was like, that's a really dodgy road to go down. I'm not going to do that. Plus, you do find, you're like, why would I? It's kind of like turning up to work. Like drinking.
It is, yeah. Yeah,
like, I mean,
is.
That's 100% what it is.
Can't
so when you think
that.
About it like that, and you're like, people have paid in, and you're definitely not as fiery as you're not as fast as you would be if you had no drink in you. So I stopped drinking before the show.
Shit, Joanne McNally has tamed the wine.
I miss it desperately.
You just mentioned dodgy roads there. Speaking of dodgy roads to go down, you and I have a lot in common. I fall asleep listening to true crime podcasts.
No!
And you're obsessed with them.
Do you fall asleep listening to
them? I fall asleep listening. Because, here's my theory. The people, it's very factual. The people who tell them, they've got kind of boring voices. They're very flat. And it drops me off to sleep.
I cannot go to sleep unless I'm listening to a crime documentary.
Yep.
And then I dream about murder and I dream that I'm being chased around with hammers and all. But it never feels threatening. Like, it's never, it's always kind of just like a fun crime.
What, you think that you're in like a Super Mario world of crime, yeah, that it's fun?
Yeah, there's weird stuff. Like, there's always kind of someone's been abducted or like there's some theme of like crime in my dreams a lot of the time, which makes sense. But yeah, I 100%, I have to listen to, and I never know whatever happens. I never know whoever commits these crimes because I'm asleep.
Because you're asleep.
They're like a lullaby.
Yeah.
And that's so strange. I can't believe you do that as well.
I think that it's just, but then do you get so obsessed with them that you're talking to people all the time about crime?
And it feels like it's really popular at the moment. I'm like, here, listen, I've been into crime for years.
I was there way before you.
I was there when it started. But I'm obsessed with that. I've actually just started listening to, is it the West Cork?
West Cork.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm kind of desensitized to crime now. So I'm like, it would need a lot of plots and twists and turns
for you
but
to kind of care about that, yeah, this could actually happen to someone.
Did you watch The Staircase?
I did watch The Staircase on, yeah, Netflix.
Yeah, it's good.
It is good. I'm not going to ask her. I'm going to ask her off air whether he thinks that Joanne thinks he did it or not. If you've seen The Staircase, you know what to do. 087-4100-102. Yeah. We're going to have to. We have to go. Pam is like, you've got lots of other things to do.
Okay.
Joanne, it's lovely to have you in. A fellow mad person who likes to listen to true crime when they go to sleep.
That's so funny.
You're going to be at the Ivy Gardens.
Yes.
If you're going over to Edinburgh, Joanne is going to be there. She is going to be top billing with Tommy Tiernan at every single gig that, yeah, he's ever going to do ever again.
Tommy's supporting me in Edinburgh, so
that's
come
what's
and see
happening.
That. Yeah.
So make sure you're there for that at the Ivy Gardens at the Vodafone Comedy Festival, Dublin, from the 26th to the 29th of July. Joanne McNally, thank you so much.
Thank you, Maureen.